The Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. We're bringing you the electrical industry experts you need to hear to discuss the topics you need to know about.
Guys, I'm really excited for Louisa to be co-hosting with me today. Louisa, kick us off.
Okay, so hi everyone, and today we are here to discuss National Home Improvement Month and just general home improvements around your house. So we are hosting this podcast really as part of our campaign for National Home Improvement Month throughout the month of September. So it's a home improvement awareness campaign which is there to support and help homeowners and renters love the home that they live in. So whether you are looking to renovate a particular room, for example, or you're looking to do your whole house, this campaign offers exclusive tips and offers to help you during your DIY projects this September. So we are very lucky to be joined on this podcast today by a brilliant guest, Antonia Ludden. So she has got 8 years of experience in home and lifestyle blogging, and she is an established content creator in this niche and regularly publishes features on her popular website called Tidy Life. We'll also add a link into her website in the show notes so you can check it out there. And she shares interior design ideas and lifestyle inspirations. So welcome, Antonia. How are you today?
Hi, I'm very well. Thank you for having me. I'm really pleased to be invited on. Thanks.
Not at all. So before we get stuck into the details and talk around home improvement, if you listen through to the end, you could really be in the chance of winning an electrical hamper worth £500. So stay tuned for more information on how you can enter that competition.
Welcome, Antonia. I've got a question for you. And it's quite relevant seeing we all sitting in these right at the moment. Over the last few months, more and more people are spending more time at home. How have you found this time being in lockdown, and have you seen any changes to the trends?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I work from home anyway as a blogger, so in some senses, things haven't changed massively for me, and I'm set up to work from home with a desk and a chair and a computer. But for a lot of people, it was a new thing to start working from home, and they probably had to just to make do with the laptop on the dining table, sat at the kitchen table, and everything else going on. So it's been a big shift for a lot of people. I was seeing quite a lot of content appearing online about setting up a home office, making it ergonomic, because it's not great to sit hunched over your kitchen table for hours on end, or sat with a laptop on your sofa. So yeah, there was lots of content going out about creating a home office and sort of adapting what you have. I mean, not everybody has the luxury of a spare room where they can create an office, or a garden shed that they can go down to. So yeah, it was sort of about creating multifunctional spaces, I think. And sometimes there'd be more than one person working from home. So yeah, it's just about being creative and squeezing a desk in under the stairs if you can, or using a spare bedroom, or using your dressing table as a desk. Just adapting. But it must have been very strange for lots of people.
Definitely. And I think, for all of us, it's going to be a big change that we sort of have to almost get used to moving forwards in the new normal. I think offices are going to become smaller in the future. So we all need to sort of become more comfortable with spending more time in our homes. And I guess spending more time in our homes, we are able to realize certain areas that potentially we might want to improve, and certain things like that. So I guess from your side of things, have you been doing anything during this time around like new projects in your home and things like that?
Yes, I mean, I think for some people there was a sense of inertia at first, and myself included, didn't really know what to do. And then it was a kind of feeling like, well, I want to plunge myself into some projects and keep busy. And for me, I mean, we had that lovely weather. I was out in the garden, and you know, we've got a little garden deck and I was painting that. I've sort of created a nice little oasis where we can sit outside and, you know, bringing lots of plants in. And it was kind of therapeutic, really. And I think if anyone had that outdoor space, you really came to value it, even if it was just, you know, just a small balcony on your apartment, whatever you'd got. It's just nice to have that little bit of space where you could go and get some fresh air and, yeah, just dress it with some plants and have a little nice seating area. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, but I think it's kind of soothing in a way. So those are the projects that I was doing at the start. I mean, now I'm doing a bit of decorating inside as well. But yeah, I think everybody's kind of got the bug for home improvement. So yeah, we should make the most of this time, I suppose, and turn a negative into a positive.
Absolutely, definitely. And I think with you doing so many different projects, do you look for inspiration in certain places, or like how do you find out about new trends and things? Because obviously you do so much improvement yourself.
Yeah, well, the online world is massive for interior design. And, you know, I love Instagram because it's very current. Whatever is being published on there is kind of the moment. So if you're looking for some trend inspiration, then I think Instagram can be great. There's a lot of amateur interior designers out there that are really creative, and it can just, you know, spark an idea. Pinterest is another great go-to. And there's some good tutorials on there. So if you wanted to DIY something yourself and weren't sure how to go about it, then Pinterest is great for that. And also YouTube, there's loads of videos if you want to learn how to tile your bathroom or whatever. So yeah, the online world is perfect really for inspiring your creativity.
Definitely. And I think now also we're not going to see as many big events and things like that, like design shows,
home events,
because
yeah,
everything can just be virtual now. So it's all about finding inspiration, you know, online, I guess, more than in person necessarily when we've got travel restrictions and everything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Yeah. And just being creative really and working with what you've got. You know, it wasn't quite so easy to just pop out and get a pot of paint or, you know, get some timber. I was hearing loads of people saying, oh, I can't get hold of any wood to make anything. So it was kind of a matter of looking at what you got and improving on, you know, making small improvements can make a massive difference. So hopefully it sparked creativity for lots of people too.
And talking about creativity and trends, this one I think I'm really keen to tap into your knowledge on. Have you seen any trends to transform a room or particular room into a home office? Or do you have any tips for our listeners who are looking for that DIY project to create a home office as we spend more time at home?
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, I mean, it's not always that easy because we don't all have the luxury of loads of space quite often. And, you know, you've just got to find a quietish corner of the home if you can. But I think even just having a nice tidy workspace, as I say, bring some plants in, have a bit of nice wall art. You can create a little nook in the home that's quite inspiring. So you don't just feel like you're sat in a cupboard, you know, on your laptop working hard. I think you need to have a nice environment if you can create it. And yeah, being adaptable, you know, lots of furniture and storage these days can be multifunctional. So, you know, and even desks don't have to be massive. You can get some really slimline ones that also have some shelving above. So even in the smallest space, I think you can create a little oasis where you can get your work done.
Definitely, it sounds good. And I think we've briefly touched upon like digital trends and things like that. And I think, you know, since lockdown, I'm sure interior designers, bloggers, influencers, etc., are moving to utilize more digital tools, whether that be visualization tools, because perhaps we can't go in and see samples and things.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we developed a tool called Find Your Style, which is an inspirational tool to help you choose the perfect sockets and switches for around your home. And I think, you know, the rise in home offices now, people are realizing they need more sockets near their desk, for example, or USB sockets to charge all their devices and things like that. I think we'll see a lot more of that moving forwards. And with this tool that we'll share a link to in the show notes, you can also change the color or upload an image to the background. So you can essentially take a photo of your home and then upload it onto the tool and then flick through our different finishes. Because I think sometimes electrical products can be sort of forgotten about, or they might seem less relevant, but actually, having a white plastic socket on like a, I don't know, a stainless steel island or something would just look so out of place. So I think trying to support bringing that relevance to our electrical products that we have in store.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think those small details are really the finishing touches in a room and can really elevate it from the ordinary. And you think about it, as you walk into a room, quite often the first thing you'll see is a switch on the wall. So if it's a nice stylish switch plate and you've got matching plug sockets that suit the style of the room. I mean, we moved into our house about 15 years ago and changed the sockets then from the bog standard white plastic ones. And they're they've got like almost like an antique switch on them, and they're in that kind of dark nickel, and I still love them, and they still look, you know, just way more stylish than the regular ones that we changed. So it, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer for me. And but you're right, it's a detail that can sometimes be overlooked, and you know, hopefully homeowners will start to realize that actually you've got quite a wide choice. And as you say, the plug sockets with the USB, I think they're inspired. I haven't got any of those. I would love some of those. I think they're absolutely brilliant.
I'm sure we can sort you somehow.
But the tool as well, the visualizer, I love anything like that. And I think a lot of homeowners sometimes feel that it's difficult to visualize changes in a room. So anything like that, that you know, like you say, you can upload a picture or create a room that's similar to yours and try, you know, it could be different wall colours, different sockets, for example. It just helps you imagine it a little bit more before you start decorating.
Definitely. Yeah, agreed.
Agreed. And I think on top of, you know, that visualisation tool helping you style your house out, and, you know, there's decorative finishes which can really complement your project and make it look more stylish and finish off a DIY project, especially when we, you know, looking to do more and more around Home Improvement Month. But one of my questions is that there's some trends that you've talked about in terms of consumers with finishes, styles, projects, but how are you seeing the trend coming through with your customers being, or consumers being, more conscientious of sustainable practices? And are you seeing more demand for smart home solutions?
Yes, I think I'd agree with both of those. A bit like the fast fashion industry has had a bit of a knock. I think it's the same for home interiors. I think people perhaps are not always keen on just replacing everything. It's a financial thing, but also sustainability and looking after the planet. So if we can repurpose something that we already have, I think it's way more exciting anyway. You know, you're saving money, you're creating something completely unique. You know, it could be a little coffee table and you change the top, or you could put some mosaic, you know, around a mirror. It could be anything, and I think that's become a big trend, and you can see that on places like Instagram, social media. People share those projects that they do, the DIY projects. So yeah, I think people are looking to be more sustainable, and you know, it's about saving money as well. You know, jobs and job security has become a bit uncertain, and so I think any ways that we can save money, and if that's maintaining your home, you know, getting it winterproofed so you don't need any expensive repair jobs. People are looking at things that they can do themselves. You know, you could be filling cracks and, you know, cracks around windows, making sure everything's wintertight, winterproof. And also maybe, looking at some smart technology for the home. I think that's an area I've written quite a lot about on my blog, because there's some really good apps and devices where you can, you know, control your heating and your lighting from your phone. So if you're not at home, you don't need to just leave the heating on. You can program it to come on as you come in. And some of those gadgets and things are really quite affordable now. So it's kind of makes sense, really, because you're saving money in the long run if you invest in a few smart home technology items.
That's very insightful. Thank you, Antonia. Louisa, I have a question for you. What is Schneider Electric doing to tackle sustainability in the residential segment?
Well, I guess being in the UK, I think our government is quite forward thinking in our approach to net zero. So we've got some good targets in place, so net zero by 2050. And obviously the government recently announced the new Green Homes Grant, which I think is going to support a lot of homeowners moving to making their homes more energy efficient and more sustainable for the future. So I think that's a great shift. But I think in terms of what we're doing here at Schneider, obviously we don't have a full solution today for that net zero home of the future, which is going to be all digital, all electric. But I think we're really striving to be the enabler of that. So we want to be able to provide people with a net zero home moving forwards. So what we've started to do is we're running an innovation program at the moment with a company called Sustainable Ventures. And we have just announced the finalists. So we're working with four startup companies who are looking to support us in building out the solution for a net zero home in the future. So we don't necessarily know fully what that's going to look like, but this is what this program is about, is really mapping out what are the solutions that we could bring to the market to make it easy for people to have a net zero home. Because I think at the end of the day, we could have a really techie solution, for example, but actually we just really need to understand what benefit that brings to the homeowner. So whether that's, you know, saving huge amounts of money, you know, I think as we see more electric vehicles out on the roads and with more people starting to work from home, we're going to see a massive uplift in the number of EV chargers required. And if you think about the amount of electricity required for one EV, I mean, it's just going to be so expensive to run. So I think we've got to find other ways of, you know, whether that's solar panels or an air source heat pump, whatever it is. But I think we're going to see a massive rise in sort of the net zero home moving forwards. So yeah, I think it's a really exciting time. I think the residential space, we do have a lot to do in terms of making a net zero home, but I think we're starting that journey. We're really excited about it. And I think from your perspective, Sean, obviously you look after the electricians, I think we really want to be that company that we support the electricians with upskilling them and training them, because the net zero home is going to be so different from installing consumer units in a house, for example. Like, it's going to be quite a complex solution. So I think we just are very keen to be, you know, a leading company in this space where we can help out all of our electricians that we have on our partner program across the UK, and just get them skilled and trained for the future, really.
I mean, Louisa, couldn't have said it better myself. The rise of prosumers and microgrids will see more and more complexities for electricians. But I think what's important to understand is also with these complexities comes simplicity for our customers. And that's kind of what you're talking about, is why we're working with these smart startups is all around, you know, how do we make sure that we deliver as much benefit to the consumers as possible? But going back to form rather than function, I had a question for you, Antonio. I manage a network of electrician partners. Do you have any tips or advice for them on, you know, trends in terms of finishers, sockets, any tips for them when selling to customers?
I think it's probably bringing to people's attention that there's a quite a diverse range of accessories for the home. And maybe if they look at the interior design, if it's an ultra modern kitchen, then some of those stainless steel sort of low profile switches and socket plates are going to look really good. There's a big trend still for gold and brass. So those finishes, I think, are going to be around for a very long time. And some of those darker nickel ones, there's loads of different, you know, different designs. So I think if the electricians can just, let people know that they've got a great choice, actually, and to think about what's going to complement the room. And that's when, you know, the tool is useful, because you can actually visualize them in place. It depends on the style of the room and perhaps the period of the house. If it's a very modern apartment, then some nice ultra-modern fittings would look, you know, superb. And in an old Victorian house, then maybe something a little more classic that's going to suit the period of the property, yeah.
And that's some good advice. So the million-dollar question here, do you do the electrical improvements yourself, or do you hire an electrician?
Oh God, no. No, I'd never do that. No, absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of things you can learn to DIY. You know, you can learn how to tile and plaster and all the rest of it. But no, I think you just wouldn't touch the electrics at your own home unless you're a qualified electrician. I certainly wouldn't. I don't think it's legal anyway, is it? I mean, they are the experts. The electricians are the experts, and really could help people, advise people about where to put sockets in the home, because sometimes that's something I've kind of had to think about, or you realise after the work's been done, actually it would be really handy to have a socket in that corner. So, you know, they're the experts, and they could probably advise people on where to place sockets, and, you know, like a shaver socket in your bathroom, that kind of thing that we might not always think about.
I'm very glad to hear that answer, because, you know, we always recommend any consumers listening, use a qualified electrician. We have a partner portal where you can find Schneider Electric partners. So if you just Google Schneider Electric electrician partner, you'll find a list of highly qualified partners that we would recommend. It's really easy to find them. In your local area.
Oh, that's brilliant, because, you know, half the battle sometimes is trying to find someone that can do the work. So that's really useful to know that. Thank you.
And we trust them all as well. So, you know, they're going to smash it. But I guess in terms of once people have decided that they want to make some upgrades to potentially electrical products or whatever, and, you know, they've got an electrician, they don't always have to purchase products from an electrician. So any of our listeners out there, if you are interested in purchasing any of our sockets and switches, or equally some of our smart home solutions, you can find them online at places like Amazon, or also in Screwfix and Tools Station, and again all other major electrical distributors. But I think in terms of inspiration, definitely try out our Find Your Style tool, and it also has a link on there to find electricians in your local area, and you can always consult your electrician for more information. And I think generally around National Home Improvement Month, which is obviously this month in September, you can find further information about this campaign and other competitions that they are running throughout the month. And you can find links to those on the homeimprovement.co.uk/Schneider Electric web page. So go and check it out.
Antonia, I got a question for you. Obviously, a podcast is a verbal medium. It's not the easiest to get inspiration. If anyone wants to go to your blog and find inspiration, could you just give us a quick link?
Yes. The blog, I've called the blog Tidy Life, because it kind of encompasses home and lifestyle. If they want to go to the website, it's actually got a slightly different URL, just to confuse people. Sorry about that. But it's www.tidyawaytoday.co.uk, and you'll find the blog there and links to all my social channels as well. Also in my blog, if anyone's interested, they can go and have a look at my latest blog post, which has got some ideas for using the switches and fittings in a particular room style. So I've created some examples of you know, different current room trends and how you could use the appropriate fittings and fixtures. So yeah, go and have a look at the mood boards.
Perfect. Thank you. And I think obviously we mentioned we were running a competition at the start of this podcast. So I'm going to hand over to Jennifer, who is our digital content executive in Schneider. So Jen, do you want to run through some of the details of the competition?
Yeah, sure. So as Louisa mentioned, with the National Home Improvement Month campaign, we are running some competitions there, but also we wanted to run one ourselves. So throughout September, we want to give you the chance to win an electrical hamper worth of a value of £500. So it includes very chic range of our ultimate range, so you can deck it out across your home. So for a chance to win, all you have to do is follow us on Instagram, which we have a fun new Instagram page. So follow us at schneiderelectric-home-uki to find out more. So what we'll be doing is we'll post on our Instagram page for more information on the rules on how to enter. So get following, guys. Follow us, please.
Thank you, Jen. That's really exciting. A good opportunity to try some of our decorative lighting finishes.
Definitely.
And Tonya, one of the other questions is, what's your favourite project been during lockdown?
Definitely the garden, the garden deck project, which is just a really weathered old deck. It's only a very small, was very uninspiring, but just painting it black with some garden paint, it's like transformed it. It's quite a dramatic change. And I also I just felt inspired to make a bit of art, and I found an old palette board and I painted a design on that, so I brought in lots of plants. So that's definitely been the thing, and you know, I had a lot of nice feedback about it, which was really, really nice, and hopefully that's inspired a few people to get out in the garden and, you know, make over a corner that's a bit neglected. But yeah, well, the weather's nice. Anything outdoors is always more fun, I think.
Awesome. Are there any particular colours that are on trend at the moment? And equally so, are there any styles or type of trends where you think, you know, avoid with a big stick because they're not going to age well?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, the trend for quite a while has been for dark interiors, and I'm really seeing a move away from that. Not for everyone, and they can still work amazingly. I mean, I've got a dark room in the house, but my front room is dark. It has a dark blue wall, and it's nice and cozy. But I am noticing that people, whether it's, you know, what we've all been through, what we're going through, people are lightening up their interiors. I'm seeing more of the sort of dark, cozy environments are getting lifted with bright colours, light walls, lots of natural materials, and maybe that ties back in with the sustainability. You know, I'm seeing more natural fibres and artisan products, you know, woven light shades, and a bit more of a holiday vibe maybe in the home, sort of raffia and rattan and all those kind of natural woven, lots of textures. I think that's definitely been a trend. And of course, I've seen so many rainbow designs and motifs, because obviously that's become a symbol, hasn't it, really, the rainbow design, you know, for supporting our carers. And also it's just a sign of hope, that rainbow design. So yeah, I've seen that everywhere, and it's kind of uplifting. It's nice. So you can get that on bedding and wall art, and that's become quite a key feature as well, quite a key trend.
Awesome. I had one other question as well. What's your least favorite DIY project?
Oh gosh. Well, painting at the moment, because I seem to be doing nothing else, painting the walls and the woodwork. I think it's the fact that you do it all and then you have to do it all again. It's a bit annoying. But yeah, anything that's a bit dirty and grimy and kind of unseen but necessary, you know, like repairs and things, repairing holes in walls and stuff like that. So it's very dull. I'm all about the sort of the finishing touches, and that's the bit I look forward to. But of course, it's all in the preparation. The preparation is key, isn't it, when you're decorating a room? So the sort of grotty work has to be done, but ultimately, yeah, it's creating that finished styled room that's the real fun part.
Just from your experience as well, Antonia, when people do look around for inspiration, things like that, because you mentioned Instagram and Pinterest, mm-hmm. And when it comes to either creating that design or reupholstering or renovating something that's existing in the home, what do you think is like the top tip for someone when it comes to, I don't know, let's say they want to, they've got a coffee table as an example and they want to match it with their interior design, but they're not sure how or what color to choose from, things like that. So would you recommend, I don't know, looking at different mood boards, looking at different trends? Like what would you suggest? Because I know some people, they might be really creative, like you said, and they might think, right, you know, I want to create like a boho chic living room as an example. And then other people might struggle purely because they want that inspiration. So what would you recommend?
I think it can be as simple as, you know, something like a cushion that you love in a room. Maybe you could pick out the colours in the cushion and work your scheme around that. But mood boards are great. I mean, they're quite easy to do, to create your own. You could use, there's a program called Canva that I use to create mood boards. And, you know, you can experiment with different colours. You can cut out images of furniture and place them in and bring some plants in and kind of just sort of plan out the room before you go ahead and change everything. But yeah, there's so many home interior design blogs and they're all a really high standard. So you can't really go wrong. I would get online and find some of the blogs that you really love and take inspiration from there. A lot of interior bloggers will create mood boards, so you could copy them, really, you know, to take an idea and create that in your own home.
Thank you so much, Antonia. I got a quick fire question that we never warn guests about. If you had to invite three guests to a dinner party, dead or alive, who would they be?
Oh no, you can't find the most indecisive person in the world. Oh. Well, I think everybody says Barack Obama, don't they?
So, oh, don't be boring.
Marilyn Monroe. Well, oh my goodness me, that's such a tough question. I can't even think about a great designer at the moment. My mind's gone blank. Maybe an artist, Pablo Picasso, somebody a bit intriguing.
So thanks a lot, Antonia, for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed
Thank
it.
You.
We've
yes.
certainly got a lot from it, I think. And I think a lot of our consumers and homeowners will be really interested in some of the topics that we've discussed, especially around design and sustainability. So thank you very much for joining us. And also thank you very much to our listeners for joining us. And thank you to Sean and Jennifer as well, and hope to see you again on another podcast later in the year.
Remember to check out that Instagram promo as well.
Thanks for listening. If you are enjoying this show, please leave a review, hit subscribe, and stay tuned for more episodes.